Blog Talk Radio.
This is an unlawful gathering. The truth is out there.
This is the underground. This is new media.
Ranger fans, report the critical thinking hangar. Ranger fans, report the critical thinking hangar.
Now here is the starting lineup for the New York Rangers.
This is New York Rangers hockey.
Well, it's sort of New York Rangers hockey. Good evening. Welcome to Blue Shirt Underground Big Blue Gangrene Power Hour Combo Show. My name is Jim. Glad to be back here with you. Eddie is still without power, so I doubt very highly he will be joining us unless he races out to a payphone, which somehow I don't see him doing. He posted on Facebook. I don't know how he got to post on Facebook today. I don't know if he went to the library or if he was somebody else at somebody else's house or something. But he posted that he still didn't have power, he still had no phone, still had no internet, and he was in, as he put it, full grump mode. So I'm sure he's in ill humor, which is almost why I would hope he could find a payphone and call in, because he's always at his best when he's pissed. But good evening. Thank you for joining me. Emily is here, Howie is here. Anybody else that's listening, I hope you are safe. I hope you made it through the hurricane okay. The pictures and things that I'm reading on Facebook, which finally Facebook became a useful tool this week instead of just a pile of political bullshit. At least it was a useful tool this week for people to let everybody know they were okay and to get some pictures out there, and it was a good way for some people to stay in touch. So Facebook came through this week, and it also kept a lot of the political bullshit off the news feed this week, which I was grateful for, and I could just read what was important, and that was status updates from people and just hearing what you guys are going through. It's pretty bad. As you guys know, I used to live in Florida, so I went through a couple of these myself. Katrina and Hurricane Wilma were the two worst. We dealt with the loss of power for numerous days, the lack of gas, the lack of supplies, the whole bit. So I sympathize with the destruction. I certainly sympathize with what you guys are going through. It's really heartbreaking to think that so many of the places that I spent my childhood in are no longer there. Like the Seaside Boardwalk, the Point Boardwalk, the Maniloking Beach area has been pretty much destroyed from what I've seen. Bayonne, which is where I grew up, I saw several pictures of Bayonne underwater. Just an awful situation. Thank God someone came to their senses and canceled that fucking marathon, because that would have just been ridiculous to have 20,000 or however many people run in that marathon, to have them running through the streets and to have cops protecting them when they could be doing other things. Certainly other things for them to be doing right now. Thankfully, they came to their senses. For all the talk of how much money that brings into the city, it would only bring that money in if people were going to be able to get to the city And right now it sounds to me, at least from what I'm hearing, they can't get to the city, you know, for either the roads are closed by their house or they're not going to leave their house because it's in shambles or whatever's going on. I just didn't see the amount of people that usually go to New York City to watch the marathon going. So to me, it didn't make any sense to do it. I don't care what the tourist dollars that it brings in, because they would not have been what they've been in previous years. The police, fire, ambulance, everybody's got better things to do on Sunday. I think it's Sunday than to cover the New York City Marathon. And so I'm glad that people finally came to their senses and canceled that. As far as we'll talk about because I've seen some people wondering why the Giants game is still going on Sunday. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. But we're going to start with hockey because it's been a long time since we've talked hockey. And basically, if you didn't hear the news, maybe you didn't hear the news. Maybe you didn't have power. Maybe you didn't have internet. Maybe you're listening to me over the phone and you're hearing the news for the first time. As expected, the Winter Classic was canceled this afternoon. The NHL canceled the Winter Classic. Rather than, from what I understand, I think I have this right, they were supposed to make a $250,000 payment to, the University of Michigan for the use of the big house on January 1st for the game between the Maple Leafs and the Red Wings. So rather than make that payment and then have the game possibly fall through, they just went ahead and canceled the game. So right now where we're at is we have the games are canceled through the end of November and the Winter Classic is canceled. Now, that doesn't mean hockey couldn't return in December with just no Winter Classic, I guess. Oh, excuse me, Emily, I'm getting this update in from the chat room. Games are canceled up until December 15th. I felt, once the games were canceled through the end of November last week, and then the word started to come out that the Winter Classic was going to be canceled, I don't see any hope for a 2012-2013 season. I don't think anybody wants it badly enough. I don't think I think the players are finding other places to play. They're finding other things to do. They're finding other ways to make income, to keep their game fresh. The owners and Commissioner Bettman don't want to seem to negotiate. Although, according to Darren Drager, he reported this afternoon, the NHL has made what he is calling a significant move on the make-whole provision. And I'm going to read this to you because I'm not sure I completely understand it, so maybe if I read it to everybody, I'll understand it. The NHL made a somewhat surprising move this week to urge the NHL Players Association towards a deal and an end to the lockout. The league amended a proposal made last month to shift the cost of the NHL-designed make whole provision from the player's share over to the owner's side. The concept of make whole is a protection plan to cover player salary reduction in dropping the player's revenue share from 57% to 50% in year one of a new CBA. The NHL proposal also included a deferred payment system, which the league is also willing to reconsider when negotiations resume. This move by the owners is considered a significant concession. The two sides are expected to meet no later than early next week. So, we'll see. I see the Connecticut Whale won tonight in a shootout. Thanks to, I'm Matt Gilroy, who is back with the Rangers. We haven't, he's come back, well, I don't want to say he's back with the Rangers. He is back with the Connecticut Whale. That took place a couple weeks ago. And I don't think we've done Blue Shirt Underground now since late August. So, it's been a little over 2 months, I think, since we've done a hockey show. And although this will kind of be a combination of the hockey and the football and whatever else comes to mind, that's where we're. Sorry, just checking out the switchboard here for a second. We've got a 646-478-4692 is the number. As always, if you guys want to call in. So yes, Matt Gilroy with the game winning goal for the Whale tonight in the shootout. Connecticut Whale have now won four in a row, so good for them. I saw Michael Delzato got an assist today with his new team in the Swiss League, if I'm not mistaken. So how many Rangers do we have overseas now? We have Nash is overseas. Gabrick's hurt, so he's out. We have Delzato overseas. And I said Nash and Delzato. And who else do we have over there? Mark Stahl playing with anybody over? Hagelin, okay. Hags, MDZ, Nash. Henrik didn't sign with Frölunda yet, right? I'll be honest with you guys. I'm not following hockey real closely. I'm not following what these NHL guys are doing because I don't care right now. They're not playing. I'm not spending any, you know, I'm not wasting any time on them. They're not wasting any time on me. So, okay. So it looks like three or four Rangers are playing overseas. And then you got Gilroy back with the Whale. So I've spent very little time worrying about hockey. I don't care. I still don't know how I'm going to handle when they come back. I don't think I don't want to. I want to say that I'm not going to jump right back into it, but I don't know. We'll see. I might feel differently, but you know, this is three labor shutdowns for this league in my adult life. You know, I know a lot of you guys that are listening are younger, so you don't remember what happened after the Cup win in '94. Some of you weren't alive then. But, you know, for guys like Howie and I and Eddie and James Smith, you know, the older bunch, Stan, it's the fourth one of our adult lifetime. So, you know, eventually it wears on you. You know, the 94 Rangers, hockey was never ever more popular and may never be that popular again as it was when the Rangers won the Cup in 94. And then they had a labor, a work stoppage, and it slowed down all the momentum. So, you know, I don't know yet. Right now, I don't care. The Giants are playing okay. You know, they're doing pretty well, and I'm okay with that, and that'll last me for a while. And I don't watch basketball. So I'm dealing without hockey. I'm dealing just fine. But, you know, we had some things to talk about, so we wanted to get them out there. And I know you guys want to sound off on the lockout and what you guys think. And you know, let's get your honest opinion. Do you still think there's a season? Is there still going to be a 2012, 2013? Maybe it's just a 2013 season. Maybe it doesn't start until mid-January and they go 50 games or whatever until the end of April or the middle of May, and then we crown a Stanley Cup champion on July 4th in New York in front of the Statue of Liberty. But, Howie, you know, in 95, I think they started sometime in January or early, yeah, and they had a 48-game season, and the Rangers had to make a frantic run to the eighth seed and got in as the eighth seed against Quebec and beat Quebec in that first round, and then just ran out of gas against Philly in the second round. But so we may see something like that. I don't know, maybe with these concessions the owners have made, but I don't know. You know, when we had the last, I don't remember how many, well, I guess the last lockout a lot of them did in 94. You didn't have a lot of players. I don't seem to remember a lot of players scattering all over the world to go play hockey. Now it's just, I don't know. It just seems to me like now the players are finding other things to do and other places to play. And it's amazed me since in just the last couple of weeks, how the fan sentiment that was firmly on the players' side, now the fans have turned against the players as well. I think most of the fan reaction I'm seeing is just anger at both sides, whereas before it was just the owners. Now there's anger at both sides. I've been angry at both sides pretty much from the beginning. I just don't think, you know, if everybody else could get their labor problems out of the way, and I'm not talking about the NBA because I don't care about them. That's not a sport as far as I'm concerned. But, you know, football was able to solve it in time to get their season, you know, on track. Major League Baseball's managed to stay, to keep working now for a long time. But hockey, these problems keep coming up. And, you know, I'm not a fan of Gary Bettman, but I'm not as anti-Bettman as some, because I understand he's just doing his job. His job is to protect the owners, and that's what he's doing. So, you know, we'll see what's going to happen. But right now, I think the NHL and the players are prepared to flush the season. That's what I think. But we'll see. We got a long way to go. And hopefully they can get it settled. Again, if you guys want to call in, 646-478-4692. And Emily's true that not all the owners are behind him. Seems to be, from the word is, more of the small market owners are the root of the problem. But either way, I don't care. I really don't. You know, it's I'll sit here. We could talk about it. And, you know, we'll do the show. But, you know, as far as I see it a lot on Facebook and I see it a lot on Twitter. I miss hockey. I miss the Rangers. I'm right now. I'm just fuck them both. Fuck the league and the team right now. Let me know when you come back and we'll see what you do to make this up to the fans. And it better be something better than painting on the ice. Thank you, fans, because that's as fake and phony as they come. But you know, there was an article that went around today. I think it was on the hockeywriters.com that the last lockout when hockey returned, attendance immediately was up. Right away, from the season before the lockout, attendance was up, and that's what the NHL is counting on. They're counting on every Ranger fan, Red Wing fan, Leafs fan, Blackhawks fan, any team in the league that fills the arena every night of the week, regardless of the night, regardless of the opponent. I'm not talking about the Islanders, who are only full when the Rangers are there, and even then not full. I'm talking about Ranger fans, Red Wing fans, you know, Maple Leafs, Canadians. They're all counting on all of you to be right back in your seats for opening night. That's what they're counting on. They take the fans for, they don't care about the fans. They don't. If they did, this would have been solved. So that's where we're at with that. And we'll get to Giants and Jets in just a few minutes. Again, whatever you guys want to. Free hot dogs. That's a start. Panthers fans. No, not quite Panthers fans. All 9,000 of them. all right. 646-478-4692. I believe we have James on hold. James, are you there?
Yeah, Jim, you're right.
James, how are you?
I'm fine, buddy. How you doing?
Good, good. All your family, everybody safe up north?
Yeah, everybody safe up north. Thank God. Knock on wood. They're all okay.
Good. Good.
They're all okay. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you just fine.
Okay. I wasn't too sure. I was hearing what you're saying, Jimmy, and I agree with you, but the fans are still going to show up, you know? I think, you know, like you said, the fans, the rabid fans who you know, don't miss a game and they're on top of everything like Ranger fans are. You know, most of us are. I think they're just going to come back. They miss it. They want to see it. You know, they want to see them back playing as quickly as possible. But you know, I necessarily don't agree. I'm more like with you, like, you know, fuck it. But we have such a good team this year. You know,
this is, yeah,
this,
I know,
could
and
be
that's
our
what
year.
Makes it harder, but I know
it does. It makes it very hard because we've watched our young guys, you know, start to grow, and we see a team come together. And you know, we added Nash and, you know, and a few other. We lost a little bit, but we gained some back. And now it's, you know, we have a great goaltending and great, good young, you know, better than good young players. And it's like, you know, you want to see them. You want to see them. And I know I'd be sucking into it, too. I feel like I wouldn't. I think I could say, you know, to the hell with it. You know, I could wait. But, you know, as soon as that freaking game comes on, I'd be there watching it.
You know, I had suggested about a month ago on Facebook, I made the suggestion, for every game that got canceled for this season, that the fans boycott that many games. You know, let's say you get a 65-game season. Then the first 17 games of that season, the fans boycott. You don't watch the games. You don't go. You don't do anything. And everybody that – and I bet I had 50 responses on my Facebook, and everybody, almost everybody said the same thing. That's a great idea, Jim. It'll never happen.
Exactly. It won't. We're just like, I guess, like I say, we love the game, and that's why you guys, you know, do the show every week, and people call in every week. you know, it's exciting, you know, especially when you have a team like we have that's getting better and better each year, you know, and we see it developing and stuff. And you just hope that, everything, you know, comes to a head and they, you know, work something out.
Right. And we'll see. Like, I am of the firm belief we are not going to have a hockey season right now.
No, I am too, but I believe it or not, I talked to Kerry Wilson today. Okay, I keep in touch with him, and his son Colin plays for Nashville, and
right.
He said that he thinks within the next 6 weeks, if there's nothing done, it's going to be over. He said the season will be done. He says as for the players, he says right now, from what his son told him, the players are willing to take a rollback of 14%. They just don't want to lose the season. They want to, how did he say it? He said, basically, he goes, you know, he said, they don't, you know, especially the players, he said, like my son, who doesn't make as much as, you know, the big time names, you know, big names, big superstars. He goes, I'll never recoup that money. So he wants to play. And he got an offer to play in Finland, but he's still sticking around because he don't want to go halfway around the world and then have to come back in a few days. So he's sticking around waiting to see if there's a season. So, you know, so he said he's been hanging around, first he was in Boston, then he went home to go see his dad, and now where did he say he went to? I think he went to the University of Minnesota, I think he said it was. And he says, you know, there's a bunch of guys working out there, and he's going to, you know, but he was in New York for a while hoping that, you know, everything was going to work out and attended some meetings and stuff. But just like we said, it's just, you know, they're just not coming to an agreement. And as he told me, the players want to play. They don't want to lose the money, and they're willing to roll it back. So I don't know what to make of that.
And you figure he's saying 6 weeks, so that puts us right in the middle of December.
Right, because so. In 95, you know me, I'm a collector, you know that. So we started on January the 20th of 95, the season after we won the Cup. So he was saying, too, he says, yeah, so basically you got to have a quick mini camp and a few preseason games and get going. That's it. And, you know, he said it'll probably be sloppy at first if it works that way. He said, like it was last time. But, you know, they want to play. He said, from what Colin told him, because they want to play. Everyone he met, they want to play. So I'm hoping. And like he said, he goes, well, you know, all you could do is basically sit back and, you know, hope they he goes, he says, and it happens like that a lot. He goes, you don't hear nothing for a long time. And then all of a sudden you get the news, bang, we're playing. So he goes,
right.
That's usually the way it works out. He goes, you usually don't hear too much. He says, so we haven't been hearing much. So hopefully we do get some good news soon. So that's what I'm hoping for.
Yeah. And you know, the other thing is, you know, it usually takes the league a few months to put together a schedule. You know,
right.
But now at this point, with so many games canceled and not knowing when they're coming back, you know, they're going to have to do this. And they're going to have a schedule put together for, you know, every team. They're probably going to have to do it in a span of about 2 weeks, you know, 2 to 3
weeks.
Yeah,
they're going to have to basically, I guess, just play within your own conference, you know. And, you know, like I said, any season, I guess, is better than nothing. I'll take it. I'll take a 50-game season if that's what it, you know, if that's what it happens. I mean, again, here I am, you know, the fan, you know, wanting to see the team, and ready to watch the games. Ready to, if I was up there, ready to go pay admission and go see them. And it's like I said, we're so close. You know, we have such a good team, and I can't wait to see this group of players on the ice again. And I'm sure everybody that's listening and every Rangers fan can't wait, just like other teams, you know. And
right.
Like you said, they're just waiting on, like you said, the league is waiting for the Rangers fans and the Wings, the Leafs, the Canadiens, all those teams that sell out to kind of bring and boost it up again. And we'll do it. That's the sad part. We will do it. We're not gonna do it. Maybe if we weren't that good, maybe it wouldn't be so easy, you know. Or actually, it would be easier to say, forget it. We're not that good.
Right.
Who cares? But we're getting there. We're becoming so good. It's just exciting, and I can't see anybody turning away, even for a game. I think everybody's gonna be just anticipating, waiting for that first, you know, that first game. I know I will be. As much as I get angry, and I. Sometimes think, you know what, I could just say to hell with it. I can't. Can't do it. I just can't do it.
See, I'd like to think I could. If I put my mind to it and said, I'm boycotting the first 2 weeks of the season, whenever it starts. I'd like to think I could do it.
It's like stopping smoking. I mean, I stopped 12 years ago. I said I was going to do it, and I did it. And I have some willpower. You know, I had to lose some weight. I was up to 255 pounds. I got myself down out to 236. Doctor
nice.
Yelled
good.
At me and told me, I got to do this, 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 and this, and I did it. I do have the willpower with a lot of things. But I don't know. Like, even when I was talking to Kerry Wilson today, when I was telling him, even as a kid, the only sport I would play hurt would be hockey. I just loved it so much. We didn't play without pads or nothing. And somebody whacked me across my legs, and I could have black and blues, but I'm still going to play. I could smash my toes with a stick, whatever. I fell into a nail with rust on it, and I kept playing until I got home. And my mother dragged me to the hospital to get a tetanus shot because it was all rusted, a rusted old nail. So I just wanted to play, but if it's baseball or anything else, it's like, yeah, of course I love to play baseball and football and that stuff. But, if you love to play, but you're like, all right, I just got hurt. I feel like crap. I'm just going to sit around here and wait or whatever. But when it came to hockey, for me, I just wouldn't stop. It wouldn't matter until the darkness came and there was no light left. I was still out there, even with a roll of tape. In the dark, we would still be playing, taking shots and stuff. That's how much we loved it. And the little boy still stayed in us, And I mean, we all, would do that again. You wish you could go back for one day and do that. And that's why I guess we just hang on to our team, and we want to, we want to see that red, white, and blue come out, man, and do something this year. We want to see our players win that cup, especially after we always hear Edmonton, all that stuff from 94. I still hear it once in a while, Hey. Well, was it for Edmonton and all those guys? Well, we had our Leeches and our Richters and we had our guys that played in Kovalev. We had some guys, but we had a lot of vets too, and we suffered after that for a while. We no playoffs. So people, that's what I told people. You don't understand it. We basically sold our soul, everybody for that cup. So and we all said, okay, as long as we win that cup, it's all right. And we were talking about the trades like Doug Wade for Tikkanen and all those kind of things. And you think of all the good young players that we lost to get that cup. And now we have it's come to full circle now. We have the young players now. We have a bright future for years to come, and it's like, man, we could be a dominant team for the next 5-7 years. It's exciting, and I don't think any Ranger fan could turn their back on it. even if I stop smoking and I think I can have the willpower, I don't think I could do it.
Okay.
You could, Jimmy. I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't think I could.
I'd like to think, like I said, I'd like to think I could, but I haven't had to do it yet, so.
Exactly. When you know that TV is sitting there, your HD is just sitting there, and if you just flip on that damn on button, and you're going to see that nice, beautiful screen, and you're going to see the players skating around, it's right there. It's going to be so hard to walk away from it, And it's like, I don't know, can I just walk away from it, or I'm going to sit there and watch it? I know me, and like as much of the things that I've done that I needed to do, health-wise or whatever, when it comes to this, I guess it's just too much for me.
Yeah. Well, that's like if you're not going to be home when the game starts, and maybe you set your DVR and you're like, I won't know what the score is. I'll just go home, put the game on from the beginning, and I'll just watch it. I won't pay attention to anything. But you always wind up checking the scores.
Exactly. You forget about it, and you're like, I'll watch the game from wherever it is, and if something good happened, I'll watch it later.
Right.
That I missed. Something that I missed in the beginning, I'll watch it later on. If it was a great run, great whatever, something nutty happened, whatever. I'll look at it later. I gotta watch it live, while it's happening. I remember those old tape delays, Rangers against Philly or whoever, and that hour tape delay I remember killed me. Damn, I can't believe it's a tape delay in this game. I don't even, I remember thinking as a kid,
Yeah,
you think of those tape
that.
Delays once in a while on Channel 9.
Sometimes they join the game in the second period. You wouldn't see the first period. Remember,
I remember that.
It might have been.
And I remember
like,
they both played. I'm sorry. I remember the Islanders playing on Channel 9 too, but sometimes a game would run late, or if the Rangers were in LA or something, like you said, they would miss the first 10 minutes of the first or the whole period, whatever. It could have been a basketball game. Everybody played on Channel 9 at that time, It was you had the Knicks and the Rangers and the Islanders, whatever. And there's a lot of sports going on Channel 9 at that time.
Yep. Now I think Channel 9 only shows the Yankees.
Yeah, Channel 9 has the Yankees, and that's about it. And it's only, handful of games a year, and that's the way it goes, right?
Yeah, it's very strange that the Yankees are on Channel 9 now, and the Mets are on Channel 11.
I know. That's one of the weirdest things when you look at some old games, like collecting, and you see Channel 9, and, you know, and you see some old commercials and stuff, and, you know, and you see, you know, whatever, even just a logo, when it was, even before it was Secaucus, New Jersey, you know, when it was WWOR Night New York, I don't remember how it was WW or not, but anyway, you would see the New York in the corner, you know, and that, then later on you saw Secaucus, New Jersey.
Right.
And that was different. And then when the, I guess it was the Mets who, I don't remember who went first. I guess the Yankees went to Channel. I guess they both did contracts. I think were up at the same time, both stations, and they grabbed the Yankees and Mets went to Channel 11. But still can't, you know, it's still kind of weird. And I don't even live, you know, I haven't lived in New York in a long time. To me, living down here, it's still weird knowing the Mets are not on Channel 9. You know, it's still,
yeah, well, me too. Yeah.
Yeah, no matter where you go, you know, you're still that New Yorker at heart, and you still remember those days of Channel 9, you know, as a kid, and the Yankees aren't picks, you know, and they had Rizzuto and Messer and White, and who I always enjoyed too, you know, but we had Kiner and Murphy and Nelson for a long time, and
yep.
And then I don't remember what happened. I remember Lindsay went to, I guess, the West. I think he went to San Francisco, and then some other guy. I think Steve Albert filled in, or some other guy before him. I don't remember what happened. Then we ended up with McCarver. That's all I remember, but those Channel 9, those were the days. Those are the days. Hey, Jimmy, you there?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Oh, okay, I wasn't sure if we lost you.
No,
hope you lost me.
Sorry about that.
no problem.
Remember after you had Steve Zabriskie? You remember him? You used to do
Mets games on Channel 9? Yeah.
Steve Zabriskie.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I don't mean to interrupt you again, but I actually found him online one time, and he was actually he was a sports reporter in some, I don't remember what state it was, and I just wrote, I said, I believe you're the guy who used to do the Met games, I just wanted to say hi, and, you know, said, you know, we enjoyed you, you know, we know you had that blown call in 86 and all that stuff, and I'm sure nobody let you forget it. And then he wrote me back saying, yeah, people don't let me forget it, but they let me off the hook. You know, he was a really nice guy. And then he told me, you know, just like, thanks for, like, writing. And, you know, the Met fans were always good to him and this and that. And he works for some station. Like I said, I can't remember. I think it was the Midwest somewhere. He does the sports for it, or he's a sports producer or something like that. And I found it online. It was like, I don't know how many years ago. And I just happened to just look up, what happened to Zabriskie, you know? And so, you know, just put his name in there and it popped up.
That's interesting.
Yeah,
I forgot what I was going to say now. I lost track of myself.
Oh, well, before I forget, Jim, I'm trying to make sure you had your family in New York. Everybody's okay.
Yeah, well, my brothers, I got three brothers in Jersey, and my dad's in the Poconos. He lives up by Howie. My brothers all lost power. Last I heard, at least two of them had their power back. And my dad, he never lost power, so...
Oh, that's
so everybody's okay.
Everybody's okay. That's good to hear. Yeah, I had some relatives, like I said, in Long Island, still in Brooklyn, Jersey, and my some of my family in Jersey just got their power on like 5-10 minutes ago, right before I called up. I saw on Facebook and stuff, and said, oh, we just got our power on a few minutes ago, so that's good for them. They were out without power for 5 days, so they were okay, though. They got through it okay, like the way we did. You know, I remember when you were in Florida, too. You know, you know, we had to take precautions, especially you being on the East Coast, you know?
Yep.
Those hurricanes coming in, and says, and I always thought, and that's funny because my friend Richie, who lives down here and probably about 30 minutes away from me here, he's like, I always thought we were going to be calling up there, telling them we're drowning in water and we have no nothing.
Yeah, right.
You know, I never thought that they'd be calling me because I don't know where anybody is, and you know, and I'm like, I know, it's exactly what I thought. I never thought it could be this. I knew it wasn't going to be nothing easy, but I didn't think it was going to be this bad.
Well, you know, that I said that to somebody the other day. I was talking to at work, and I said, you know, I think. It seems to me that most everybody in the Northeast, they were prepared for the storm, but they weren't prepared for after the storm. They weren't prepared
exactly.
for what they were going to see. They weren't prepared for what they were going to have to deal with. And that's not really a knock on them. That's hard.
Right, it's understandable.
For.
Yeah, definitely.
You know,
something that's not common over there. And even the... you know, like when they have the evacuation sections, A, B, C, they would say the evacuation section A, everybody get out, but B is okay, but it actually spilled over into B in a lot of areas. So
right.
some of those people
right.
got stuck not even knowing that there wasn't, you know, that they didn't even have a mandatory, you know, evacuation, but they thought they were okay because they weren't told it was mandatory for them, and then they just stuck around. And I guess now they're going to have to recode some of the things and push it back a little farther, you know, farther in because – the water, I guess, just went so high, and they said everything worked out, you know, perfect for a bad storm. Even the moon, everything. Everything worked out like it was crazy. They said the way everything happened to, you know, sit, you know, like I said, between the moon and the other storm coming in and everything the way it worked out, it was like to to make it as bad as it was. It was an unbelievable thing to witness. You know, just looking at it on TV, it's like, oh my God, look at Staten Island, all my family over there.
Yeah,
I couldn't believe it. And I see Princess Bay, it's like destroyed, and you know, Tottenville destroyed, and I'm like, this is crazy. I mean, I used to go there all the time, you know, from Brooklyn when I was a kid. You know, when I first got my license, I drive over the bridge, Marisano, go, you know, see some family or hang out with some friends over there that had moved there already, and you know, when you see some of the areas, I'm looking at it like, I probably was over here, and you know, just it's unrecognizable from, you know, even being on TV and stuff, and from what they're telling me, you know, when I spoke to them on the phone, they're like, it's crazy. You can't believe how bad it looks, and you know, all those people, it's like, you know, you just, you know, all I did was pray. I just let everybody be okay, and hopefully not too many fatalities, and you know, nobody, you know, has anything bad happen, especially people we know and stuff. You know, like I was looking out on the Facebook, and thank God everybody that, you know, I have Facebook friends with, they all came on. You know, so far I didn't see anybody say anything bad happen to a family member, so thank God for that. Right. That was good. But yeah, for other people too, you got to feel for them. Oh man, it's, you know, when you think of things like that, it's horrible. It really, really was.
Yeah, oh, definitely. I mean, and you know, like we said, we've been through it in Florida, and I'm sure, you know, you've known people that down there that, you know, lost their homes or their businesses or things,
yeah,
like that. And I, you know, I, yep, did in South Florida. I knew people that Wilma and Katrina, those were the two bad ones that I went through. And I mean, Fort Lauderdale after Hurricane Wilma looked like an absolute war zone. And that's
right.
You know, that's kind of what they're going through now in the Northeast. And, you know, like I said, you know, they were prepared for the storm, just not after the storm. And that's not meant to be a knock on them, because there's not much that can prepare you for that.
Exactly.
You know, to turn on the TV and see that Seaside Heights doesn't exist anymore, or man.
Oh man, I had a friend who had two houses in Seaside Heights. We used to go there like every other weekend and just spend the weekend over there. A bunch of 19-20-year-olds just drinking and having fun on the beach and just doing whatever. And you look at it over there, I'm like, oh my God, I know that street. I've been,
yep,
around there so many times. I'm like, I'm looking at it. This is unbelievable. And I think even where they have like that in Atlantic City, and over the big part of the boardwalk went off. And I think in front of Trump, I think it was Taj Mahal, I think is where they had little rides and all that stuff. And I remember there's like they had like a Ferris wheel, and it was like, you know, had like a pier that went out like out into the water, and that,
yeah,
was like underwater over there too. And I see it all busted up. The carousel was gone. You know, I remember,
yep,
taking my kids on there and stuff when they were younger, and it's all gone. And I'm like, and especially not to mention Coney Island, who was only like three freaking subway stops from me.
Right.
And, you know, I used to go there all the time. And so it's like hit me, even Breezy Point. I mean, we used to have that. You had to have a sticker on the car to get into Breezy Point. And I had family in there and some friends, and they gave us the stickers, put it on the car, and we were able to go there in the summer when we were kids. And so Breezy Point, too, same thing. Well, a lot of places that were, you know, places that I went to many times. It just, you know, like I say, just doesn't exist now, or is underwater, and who knows how long it's going to be till they're fixed.
Did you see the pictures of the pier in Seaside Heights that collapsed? And the,
yeah,
ride?
Oh my God, it's crazy. It really is.
I worked on that pier.
See that?
Yep.
Yeah,
it's Funtown Pier.
Yeah, Funtown Pier. Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. It's like I say, it's part of my. It's bad enough. Like I worked at 5 World Trade and stuff for Dean Witter years ago, and when the towers went down, it was bad enough knowing that I worked over there, and I used to go into I forget if it was one or two, you know, because they had another part of an office over there, and I'd run some stuff up and down or whatever, and that was bad enough. My father worked across the street, the Merrill Lynch building, and as a kid I was there too. So you know, all of that was bad enough. Now to witness this, it's like my childhood as a kid from New York, whatever. It's like a lot of, I mean, for a lot of people too, but it just like seems everything just got wiped out.
Yeah.
It's crazy just to think about, you know. So I try to keep myself busy and not think,
yeah,
about this stuff, but you know, to make sure people or everybody was okay. But just thinking about the things, like, you know, that we did, and you know, it's crazy that it no longer exists. Just like when the towers went down, that doesn't exist anymore.
Right.
And it kind of rattles you, you know, because I was watching, you know, the live pictures and stuff, you know, the video feeds, and you're looking at it, and you're like, oh, my God, it's like, this is like the end of the world coming again.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what it felt like. It's the same thing, you know. So it's like, and all I'm doing now this week is just looking forward to the Giants, you know. I'm just looking forward to watching the Giants and
there you go.
And hoping that they could, you know, take care of business before the bye week. And, right, they have the bye week is the following week. Is that right?
Yes, yep. Yeah, be nice to see them go into the bye week at 7-2. Be nice, you know, be good for them to get in front of the home fans and, you know, kind of bring a little, give them a little distraction and something to look, you know, something good to think about on Sunday afternoon. And
Absolutely. Even for the Jet fans, you know, like I wrote something on some of the Jet fans. I'm like, look, you guys, the Jets haven't won a freaking game against a 500 above team in over a year. I went back and looked at everything, and I'm like, they haven't beaten a plus 500 team since October the 26th of 2011. And I'm like, well, you guys are lucky because you look at the schedule now, you only have one team, which is New England, and they haven't been playing that great either. Is the only team that they have to play in the, you know, the second half of the season, next eight games, that's over 500. So, I mean, if these guys could somehow get their act together and play decent football, they could finish 9-7. I mean, you know, you never know.
Right.
So I tell them, you know, some of them are throwing in the towel. I'm like, well, you know, I said, even if they made the postseason, I mean, anything can happen. I said, I don't think they do much damage, but you just don't know. Look at us last year. You know, nobody thought, and I didn't even believe we were going to go all the way to a Super Bowl the first. I don't think nobody believed it. You're like, all right, well, we made it. Let's see what could happen.
Right.
And then you see us, you know, destroy Atlanta, you know, and then you're like, wow, anything could really happen. And then you go into, you know, say between Green Bay and Frisco and take care of business, and all of a sudden you're there. And, you know, like even for the Jets, you know, it's like you take care of some business. You beat up on some teams that you know you could beat. You could be right in the middle of everything, you know. If you beat New England and, you know, get yourself just a game under 500, and then you got seven games with sub-500 teams, you could go 6-1, 5-2. I mean, they could actually do that. We have it tough again. I mean, yeah, Super Bowl supposed to have it tough, and I understand that. But I never understood last year's schedule, how we got these unbelievably, terribly hard games for a team that didn't make the playoffs. You know, I was looking at it, I'm like, how did we get this schedule? We didn't make the playoffs the year before.
Yeah, I know, right?
And I'm like, we have this hard-ass schedule, and I'm like, the Jets went to two AFCs in a row, and even last year, like, they didn't have that bad of a schedule, nothing close to what we had, you know, and you know, we went on to win it. So it does go to show that, you know, even though you have a tough schedule, you can do it if you freaking believe, and you have some talent. You have to have the talent, of course, and the coach, and I just don't believe Rex Ryan is the guy for them. I really don't, because people say, well, you know, you don't know about the Jets and you don't know this. Yeah, I do know about the Jets. He's the guy that cuts them loose. Hey, this guy's not good enough, cut him loose. You know, this guy's not good enough, cut him loose. And, you know, when they started losing some vets, I remember with Chris Jenkins and stuff and Damian Woody, those guys, and, you know, you start seeing some of the vets going. I remember thinking to myself, saying, you know, a lot of these vets are gone. I mean, the Jets ain't going to be as good as they were. And this was last year. And I was right. And this year, I'm looking at some things. I'm getting Tebow. Like I said, they're like more interested in getting the back pages taken away from the Giants in the Super Bowl for Tebow and stuff. And what the hell has he done? He's played, what, 40 snaps in half a season so far? I mean,
what a waste.
It's like a circus. That's why I try to tell people. You know, I'm not anti-Jet at all. I mean, my uncle's a big Jet fan. My first game I ever went to was at Shea Stadium, the Jets and Patriots, in 74, I think it was. And I started to learn about football and stuff. And then I went to a few more after that before I finally went to a Giant game, because the Giants were always sold out. And I finally got to see a game, you know, later on. And then a few more, thank God. But, you know, it's always hard to get tickets. But my uncle had the season tickets, and I went. And, you know, and I always, for his sake, I always say, oh, I hope they win for him. I mean, he's getting older. He's in his upper 60s, now mid-60s. And, you know, he's had the season tickets since way before, you know, Shea Stadium, you know, right at Shea Stadium there, you know, when they won the freaking Super Bowl. And, he still hasn't seen a winner, you know, and I'm like, yeah, well, hopefully for his sake, maybe they'll see, you know, they'll see something good one day, or at least make it there. I mean, Christ, you know, it's like, that's what I tell them. You guys haven't even made it there. I mean, you got to do something. Like I said, I don't think Rex is the guy. I really don't. I mean, he went off for those, you know, when he first came out and just started saying they're winning this and they're winning that. But right. Mangini basically put those guys. I mean, I don't know who he actually brought in. You know, I mean, how could even like Weatherford go, for Christ's sake? You know, when the Jets had, I mean, when the Giants had Matt Dodge, you know, and he's screwing everything up. And I was watching Jet games seeing Weatherford, and I'm like, this guy's, I wouldn't mind having this guy. Sure enough, they pick him up, and what happened? The Jets punter was like horrible last year. This year, nothing so great. And I'm like, this guy's actually pretty damn good. You know, even a freaking punter, you know?
Right.
And you think of things, and I'm like, well, like I said, Yeah, Tannenbaum's the guy who brings the guys in, but I mean, there's other people who are like, invitees during training camp, and he's the guy that's cutting them loose and stuff. So he's the guy making the decisions: who's playing where, and who's staying, and who's going, who's on the practice squad, and who's not. So if this guy don't bring this team out of this, slump that they're in, playing against a bunch of loser teams, even worse off than they are, I think this guy's got to get the axe at the end of the year for the Jets. I really believe that, and I don't think Sperano's done shit for them.
No, that was a bad move.
I think that was terrible too. And like I said, the Giants, we've had our rough games too and stuff. And I'm not going to deny it and stuff. We got lucky with a few things, but these guys play their asses off most of the game. I ain't crazy about our secondary, but somehow I'm telling my nephew when we're watching the game the other day, I'm like, oh, we need a turnover like right now. Boom, these guys cause a turnover. It's like,
yeah,
they cause turnovers. I mean, they make things happen when, it's almost like they know when they have to rise to the occasion and get something done. And, yeah, there was a couple – we should have won a couple games. I mean, we could easily be unbeaten right now and not even playing that great. And to me, I don't know about you, but Eli looked kind of sick last week. I'm looking at his face, and this guy looks kind of like – he doesn't look like himself. He looks kind of like he's on the sick side. I said, I'd give him a pass this week. He just looks like he just ain't into it. I said, I don't know if he's sick or what. I said, there's something wrong with him. He just don't look right. And, he came back, wasn't one of them last-minute jobs, but he still won the game. So,
right.
give him the pass again. And I say, thank God we beat the Cowboys because I can't stand Jerry Jones.
Yeah, I don't know. Me neither.
Can't stand Dallas. Jerry Jones, the whole thing, makes me sick.
Yep. No, I agree. So, all right, James. So listen, I'm going to thank you for calling in. I'm going to grab another couple of calls here.
Definitely, Jim. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate, talking to stuff and, talking to some Rangers and some football and stuff. I appreciate it. Hey, can you leave me on here? I don't have the computer on right now.
Sure. I'll leave you on hold.
All right. Thanks, Jim. You have a good one. Tell Eddie I said hi next time you talk to him. I hope he's doing well.
Okay.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
All right, so 646-478-4692 is the number if you guys want to call in. Lockout, Rangers, Giants, Jets, NFL, NHL. Well, there's not much else to talk about NHL. It's all on the table, whatever you want to call in about. And well, I'll tell you what, let me give you, before we get back to the phones, I'll recap, I'll give you my my take on the Giants game. It's always nice to see them jump out that night at 23-0 lead against Dallas. But there were a couple of things that were working against them even at 23-0. They weren't getting into the end zone. They were coming away with field goals. The defense was getting the turnovers, and that was what fueled the 23-0 lead. So and the defense hasn't played well. I've been saying it for weeks. They really have only played two really good games all season. The defense wasn't playing that well on Sunday, except for getting the turnovers. So once the turnovers stopped happening, the game started to turn. And then sure enough, it's 24-23 before the Giants get going again. They get the field goal to go up 26-24. They get another field goal to go up 29-24. And then we got that ridiculous finish with Dez Bryant with his fingers landed on the out-of-bounds line. Now, when he caught that ball, where he landed, I immediately thought that where he landed, there's no way he could have gotten both feet down in bounds. But I had no idea that it was going to be as close as it was. I mean, you're talking about the tips of his the balls of his fingers landing on the out of bounds line. Just an unbelievable finish. And then they put 3 seconds back or 4 seconds back on the clock, and Dallas runs three plays in 10 seconds. Are you kidding me? But come on, in Jerry world, three plays in 10 seconds, you can't do, come on, it's ridiculous. But a win is a win. Eli, not his best game, only 15 to 29, 192 yards. Like James said, he might have been, maybe he was feeling a little bit under the weather, but we'll take the victory. Giants broke out a little bit on the run in the second half, a couple of big runs by Bradshaw kind of padded the stats, but look, they did just enough to win and came away 6-2, which is, that's the MO of the Coughlin regime. We talked about it last week, five or six times in his tenure. They've come out of the first eight games 6-2. Now the question is the next eight games, and that starts on Sunday against Pittsburgh. We'll get another round in the Eli and Ben Roethlisberger matchup. It was an interesting article in the Daily News yesterday, or maybe the day before, about how the trade, the Eli Manning trade, affected, you know, the Giants. It affected the Chargers, but it also affected the Steelers. Because had the Giants not been able to work out that deal with San Diego that brought Eli, you know, to the Giants and brought and sent Phillip Rivers to the Chargers, the Giants were going to trade down with Cleveland to the number 7 spot. They were going to pick up Cleveland's number 2 pick, and the Giants were going to draft Ben Roethlisberger and just excuse me. So, you know, it would have been, you know, you had three franchises and three quarterbacks whose lives were, you know, completely affected by that day. And, you know, interesting to think about what would have happened had all three of them wound up somewhere else. But I'm quite happy the way things turned out. And I don't know if we'd have wanted Ben Roethlisberger on the loose in New York in the early days of his career. But so we got another Eli Roethlisberger matchup on Sunday. The Jets, they have taken the week off, and they have the bye after an embarrassing, just embarrassing, 30-9 loss to the Dolphins. I watched that game. You know, this, you know, for a team with the who's supposed to have one of the best special teams coaches in the league, their special teams are killing them the last 2 weeks. You had the kickoff return for a touchdown last week against the Patriots, and then in the Dolphins game, what did they have? They had a blocked punt or a blocked field goal. They had the Dolphins recovering an onside kick. I think there was a fumble on a kickoff or a punt return. I mean, Mike Westhoff, in his 114 years of coaching, he's probably never seen anything like it. Guy looks like he's about 200 years old. So just an awful, awful loss for the Jets in a season that is quickly going down the tubes. They're still not using Tebow. I don't understand why. I don't understand what they've got to lose. Seems to be some school of thought that Rex is being a little gun shy with Tebow because he's afraid of having a quarterback controversy on his hands. Maybe that's part of it, but I don't know. The Jets were just awful. Even after Tannehill got knocked out of the game, Matt Moore came in. Matt Moore didn't play great, but he outplayed the Jets quarterback. I can't pin it too much on Sanchez. He didn't play that badly. But, you know, it's just same old stuff for the Jets. If it's not one thing, if it's not the offense, it's the defense. If it's not the defense, it's special teams. And like my father says, that's why they're the Jets. What can I tell you? So the Jets will get the week off. They will return the following week, I think, against New England. I don't remember. Off the top of my head, again, the Giants play Pittsburgh this week, and then they are off. And then they will start a pretty tough stretch of games. I don't remember the exact order, but they've got Green Bay coming up. They've got Atlanta coming up. They've got another game against the Redskins, another game against the Eagles. And who am I forgetting? Baltimore is in there. That's 5. So I'm forgetting another game against Philly, another game against the Redskins, Baltimore, Atlanta, Green Bay, and I'm forgetting 2 games. Cincinnati. That's who I think they come back with after the bye week, actually, is Cincinnati. And one more game in there. I don't remember who. Somebody will remind me in the chat room. So, anyway, 646-478-4692, the number. Giants, Jets, hockey, whatever you guys want to talk about. Let me know your thoughts on this, on if you think there'll be a season. We're going to talk about the Giants. We're going to talk about the Jets. I will do my picks in just a couple of minutes. We'll get on that. And let's see. I thought this was interesting. I was reading an article today about in the Kansas City Star about the Chiefs. And the Chiefs, now they're 1-8, okay? The only time they have had a lead this season was in their overtime win against New Orleans. That is the only time this season they have been in the lead. They're what, 8 games, they have not had a lead. They are the first team not to hold a lead during its first 7 games since the 1929 Buffalo Bisons. And think about that. The 0-16 Detroit Lions of a couple of years ago, those bad Bucks teams that lost 26 games in a row, even they managed to have a lead. That's how bad those bad Saints teams back in the 70s, the bad Giants teams in the 70s, the 1-15 Richie Kotite Jets even weren't this bad. Even they found a way to get a lead a couple of times. It's going real bad in Kansas City. I have a feeling they're gonna clean house at the end of the year. This will be another failed head coaching job for Romeo Crennel. They got beat pretty bad last night by the San Diego Chargers, who are another team. I think they're going to look to clean house at the end of the year. But so that's the story. An amazing record of futility by the Chiefs, and then we got the Giants coming up against Pittsburgh. Jets on the bye week. NHL cancels the Winter Classic. We've got the marathon was canceled. There was basketball tonight nobody cares about. And that's where we're at. So I'll tell you what, unless you guys want to call in at 646-478-4692, I will get to the picks here in just a second. And if there's nothing else going on, we'll wrap it up. So I will cue the music. There it is. NFL films for you. Now, last week, I've been red hot with my picks, but last week I hit my comeback to earth week. I was 1-2. I had the Atlanta Falcons plus 2.5, and they crushed the Eagles. And then I had Washington plus 5, which didn't go well, and Seattle plus 3, which didn't happen. Eddie was 2-1. He had the Giants given 1. He had San Francisco laying 6.5. And he lost with the Packers, given 13.5, which I was originally going to take the Packers, but then when Eddie took them, I had to pick somebody else, and I picked Atlanta. So that worked out well for me, or I might have been 0-3. If you haven't been following along, Murph called in last week, and after his lock of the week previously of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, after he blew that one, then his lock last week was the Jets, given 2.5. And we all know what happened there. So, for the season we have, I am 12-6-3. Eddie has climbed up to 9-10-2, which is pretty good because at one point he was 2-5-2, and then 4-9-2. So he's starting to come around on his picks and get better. And I'm at 12-6-3, and Murph is 0-2. So I don't think he'll be calling in tonight because it's Friday night in South Florida. He is either working or drinking, or maybe both. So I'll make my picks, and then it looks like we've got a call on hold. We'll get to that in just a second. I am going to take this week. I've got Atlanta giving 4. I don't remember who they're playing, and I took the lines down. So just have to. I am taking Atlanta. Here, hold on. I'll pull up the schedule. Regular season. Atlanta giving 4 to someone. There we go. Atlanta, where are you? Atlanta, yes, giving 4 to the Cowboys. Denver giving 4 to the Bengals. And for the first time this season, I am going to take the Giants. Minus 3 to the at home against the Pittsburgh Steelers at Giants Stadium. I can say that Teddy's not here this week. So there you have it. Atlanta giving 4. Denver giving 4. Giants giving 3. Those are my picks for the week. See if I can get off the schneid from last week. We got a call on the line. 914-400. You're on the air. Who's this?
Hey, Jim. What's going on? It's Mike from Westchester. What's up?
Hey, Mike. How are you?
Hey, everything's hanging in there. It's pretty bad up here. I'm glad to hear that everybody, you know, your family is okay up in the New Jersey, New York area.
Yeah, most of my family's in New Jersey. My dad's in Pennsylvania, but everybody's okay. They had to go a few days without power, but no major damage anyway. And then now they're just hunting for gas wherever they can get it.
Yeah, it's it's pretty awful here. I mean, it's still barely half a tank is like gold. You know, got to wake up like 6 tomorrow morning, but it's like no get. Like the line down all the way down the highway here. It's awful. But, you know, a couple more days, hopefully it goes away.
Hopefully. Yeah, I think I read today that 40% of the gas stations in the tri-state area are operating. So, you know, that number will go up every day. And I think I posted on Facebook before, starting tomorrow, it's odd and even for gas in New Jersey. So if you have an odd-numbered license plate tomorrow, you can get gas.
Oh, wow.
It's going to be like 1979 all over again. So anyway, what's on your mind? Lockout? Football? Both? Hurricane?
Yeah. Well, I had a quick football thing, but more about the lockout and stuff like that. Just also kind of a question for you about the Rangers going, not to get too much of the personnel for next year, but it kind of goes with the lockout with – I think for all of us, like, hockey is very special. You know, it's like we're so hardcore fans. We're a very different fan base than, like, baseball, basketball, or football. So it's really, really hard to turn away. I mean, last time in 2003, 2004, the organization was shit. Their philosophy was screwed up, and it was so easy. Those teams, especially, like, 2002, 2003, and 2003, 2004, were so hateable. It was like, I need a break from this. It's so awfully wrong. But this is just different. You know, Rangers in general, they usually – always try to have a good team, even like the 80s when they were kind of low budget. It was always, you know, they put good effort in, and it's always like, it's just a different kind of bond and a different kind of team. It's like part of your blood, and so it's really, really hard to get away from it, especially even because Dolan, he's not even really the bad guy. He doesn't want the strike to go on. It's more like the guy from the Wild and the Bruins guy. They're the ones giving out these ridiculous contracts. You know, like Milan Lucic, they give him $6 million for 3 years. Then the guy's like, no, salaries are too high. And the guy who gives up Parisian suitor money. So Dolan's not even a bad guy. He wants to play, and he wants to pay the guys. So it's kind of a really hazy situation, especially being a Rangers fan.
I'm not even sure Dolan knows there's a lockout.
Yeah.
And actually, you know, he was interviewed a week or two ago, or maybe it was 3 weeks ago, and he was asked a question about the Rangers, and he said, well, he called it a strike.
Yeah.
he doesn't pay much attention to his hockey team.
Yeah, I think he still thinks that Esitikinen is playing or something like that, or Sergei Zubov.
I doubt he even knows who either one of those guys are. But you know what? As bad as the Knicks are screwed up, maybe it's better that he doesn't pay any attention to the hockey. He might hire Isaiah Thomas to run the Rangers.
Oh, God. That'd be hilarious. But also about the Rangers, which is kind of interesting. I mean, whenever this thing comes back, more so next year, there's going to be personnel decisions they have to make, whether it's getting rid of Gavrik in the offseason, if the cap goes down, or also they got to re-sign McDonough and Hagelin, Stefan, and all these guys. And and next year is also the next influx of young players. And, like, I don't really – it's kind of a hypothetical question to everybody out there, not to get too crazy personnel, but the bottom six is going to look very, very different. And are you and maybe other fans comfortable with, like, let's say, you know, Oscar Lindbergh, Kyle Jean, JT Miller, and Jesper Foss? Are you guys comfortable with, oh, I'm fine with it, but how do you feel about, let's say, if four of the bottom six positions are filled by those guys or something along those lines?
Yeah, I wouldn't have a problem with it. I wouldn't surprise – I mean, four might be a lot to bring four rookies into the lineup. But, you know, look, I mean, you go back and you look at the last 3 years of this team, and every year they've brought in – you know, they've had two or three rookies crack the lineup. You know, last year it was Hagelin, and then you had Kreider at the end of the year, and then McDonough and – All right, my memory just went out on me. McDonough and Delzato was the year before, but then you had McDonough and who am I forgetting?
Yeah.
I don't know. It'll come to me. It'll come to me as soon as I get off the air. But then the year before you had Delzato and you had Anisimov. So, you know, Tortorella's done a great job at getting young guys in the lineup and making them, you know, maybe not, you know, not all stars yet, but, you know, serviceable to the point where they're contributing to what's going on the ice. But I think, you know, that might be, I don't know if all four guys would be able to crack the lineup, but, you know, a couple of them, it'd be great.
Yeah, because apparently it's so early, you know, that kid Gene, who he's come out of, he's playing really well in the minors for the Whale.
Stepan, that's who I forgot, Derek Stepan. Thank you. Thank you, Emily.
that's what that kid Gene is playing. You know, he's playing really. He's a big dude, and you know he got some skill. And obviously, you know, you got Miller, and then you got the two Swedes coming over next year. And I mean, so I know it's like the Swedish Elite League. It's a lot different than the OHL or WHL. Obviously, like those guys playing against men. And not to say that they're going to be game breakers and you know score 50, 60 points, but they may be contributors or at least a possibility.
Right. Right.
I guess the last thing about sort of football point. I'm a Giants fan, but also I heard you know you and James talking. You and James, a lot of great memories of the Giants going back.
You're
to
smart.
Yeah, you know it's weird. I guess growing up, there are a lot of at least you know my friends growing up. A lot of I'm from the island originally, but we made up to Westchester later. But there are a lot of Giants, Rangers, and Mets fans. And it's, I know it's not really traditional. It's more like Yankees, Giants, and. Yankees, Giants, and what's the other team? Forget and oh yeah, Rangers. Because you know how it was back in like the Lions, where people grew up. But obviously, I think the
right.
Dodgers. Yeah. But so I grew up in the Giants. But the thing about the Jets though is that it was just interesting. You and James talking about it. I know the reason what Steve Jets let Steve Weatherford go is because him and Mike Westhoff had beef, like big beef.
Right.
Apparently, yeah, Westhoff didn't like his you know him walking around naked in the locker room and how he's kind of free spirit. And so he wanted to get him out of there. And obviously,
as far as I'm concerned, he could punt naked. I wouldn't care. As long as he drops the ball inside the 10, he could punt naked.
Yeah, definitely. He's kind of crazy, but, you know, Jerry Reese, who's probably the most subtle GM, you know, smart guy, smartest, subtle, quietest GM in the league. He never takes the headlines, but he just keeps doing what he's doing because he keeps fighting these players, and, you know, it's awesome. It's not always, like, the biggest, the sexiest moves, but he knows what he's doing, and, you know, he's awesome. And the reason they sustain so much success is he makes these picks and they're like, who the hell are these guys? And they come in and they play, you know, guys like Kevin Boss or, you know, Jaron Hosley, who's improving. So guys like that, who you don't think too much about, but all of a sudden they come in and they make plays and they contribute.
Well, how about Locklear on the offensive line?
Oh, yeah, that was a great
move. Look what a great job he's done. And their defensive MVP is Stevie Brown. I mean, it's crazy. It's just crazy the way they – the way he finds these guys, whether they're journeymen or undrafted or off other teams' scrap heaps, and they just they buy into you know the whole system, and they perform well. I mean, Kenny Phillips is going to have a hard time getting his job back because of because Stevie Brown's been so good. The guy's leading the league in turnovers. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's amazing. And you know, consider he's like some 7-year journeyman. I mean, a serviceable player, but. What he's doing this year, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, like, I guess that's about it, really. So, you know, Rangers, hopefully, I'm hoping for, I'm cautiously optimistic, hopefully they could have a hockey season. I mean, I don't think, it doesn't look good, but, you know, as you never know, maybe just a lot of these owners, like the small markets, they don't want to totally lose a season. So hopefully they can get something going. It's going to feel a little bit strange if it was like a 50-game season, but and especially since, you know, all the just players all over the globe right now. You know, McDonough's hanging out with like Borat in Kazakhstan or whatever it is. But it'd be nice to kind of get something, even in December. You know, kind of a transition from football to hockey.
Yeah, yeah. No, you're right. I, on the other hand, am cautiously pessimistic.
Yeah. No, I totally understand why. It just doesn't look good at all. It looks like there's too much like of everything else. There's just too. Too big a gap, and nobody wants to compromise at all.
Yeah, I agree. At this point, you know, I just recommend everybody go find something else to do. The NHL and the players are. So,
definitely.
Time to go find something else to do.
Yeah.
But anyway, Mike, thanks for calling in. I hope you'll call next week. Hopefully Eddie will be back with us with power and internet and all that good stuff, and we can put on a real show for you.
Listen, you know, you're doing a great job tonight.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. Talk to you soon.
Have a great night.
You too. Bye.
Bye.
All right. I guess we got one more call on hold. I'm going to get to that in just a second. It's been a while since we reminded you guys of this, but because we haven't been doing the underground shows, but all of our shows dating back to June of 2009 when we began this venture are available on iTunes. You can find us either by searching for Blue Shirt Underground, or you can find us by searching for New York Rangers. You might even be able to search for us under Big Blue Gangrene Power Hour, and you might find our shows, the Giants and Jet shows as well. We are also on Microsoft Zoom, although I don't think anybody has one anymore. I think I had the last one, and then I converted to iPod. So, but if you do have a Microsoft Zoom, you can find us on there. There is also an Android app for Blog Talk Radio. It's not very good, but it's another way to listen to our show. So there's a lot of ways to find us out there on the internet. You can also just download us right off the show page. You can download the show to your MP3 player or your phone or whatever, your BlackBerry, whatever you want, and take us with you. Anyway, 646-478-4692, and I believe this is the one and only Cutsy. What's going on, Jeff?
Hey, Jim. How are you?
Good. How are you feeling, man?
Oh, pretty good. Thank you.
Good. So what's going on?
What's going on?
You said on Facebook you were pretty pissed about the lockout.
Well, I'm more pissed about the Winter Classic being canceled.
That's what I meant, the Winter Classic being canceled. Well, obviously, because you're Leafs, and you were going to get all that 24/7 coverage of your team on HBO, and now it's all gone.
Yeah. Well, it's supposed to be the biggest game in, like, the past decade for Toronto.
Right.
That's how low we've sunk.
So, what do you think? Is there going to be a season or not?
There's going to be a shortened season. I think the players might have to cave in a little bit because of, like, you know, now with the Winter Classic gone, like, the marquee matchups, now they're going to soon run out of money, you know. They want their money sometimes.
Everybody wants their money.
Yeah.
All right. What else you got?
What else do I got? Oh, well. Oh yeah. I was gonna.
Oh,
hey.
Wait. Hold on.
Oh.
We haven't even mentioned the Islanders are moving to Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Thank you.
New York Islanders, oh no, oh no, I hate them as much as they Ottawa, but that's beside the point. Senator Sack, how? Because the Blue Jays are better,
Yes, the Islanders are moving into Brooklyn to become the ice hipsters, the ice nets, the ice trolls, the ice pigs. Whatever. They seem to think they're going to that they're going to do what the Nets are doing, and they're going to tap into the Ranger fan base, like the Nets want to tap into the Knicks. I don't see how. I don't see how they're going to be able to do it. Maybe you know they'll get some new fans from a young generation that just don't you know. Kids, 7, 8 years old, that just grow up to be Islander fans, but I just don't see how they're ever going to grow a fan. I mean, they essentially have to grow a new fan base in Brooklyn. You can forget about trying to get there from Suffolk County. They're not going to go to Brooklyn to watch the Islanders. If they were going to Nassau Coliseum, they're not going to go to Brooklyn.
Right.
And like they're saying in the chat room, it's just as bad an arena for hockey as Nassau as far as watching the hockey. It's just newer. We're all going to see 14,000 for hockey. Sight lines are going to be bad. Fuck them. I don't care.
But the point is, Jim, I mean, there were rumors that the Islanders are not going to change the name, but they have to change their name, don't they? I mean, Brooklyn's not on an island, is it?
Technically, Brooklyn is part of Long Island.
How so? Is it?
It just is. Go look at the map. It is part of Long Island. As is Queens. It's one of the five boroughs of New York, but it
is. Yeah, I know it's a borough of New York.
But geographically, it is part of Long Island. Just like Queens.
Okay, it makes sense because, like they said, that it's only going to be like, how many minutes? Like 30 minutes away or something like that?
By train, yeah, you know, I guess 30, 45 minutes, whatever.
Yeah, from New York.
Well, from Madison Square Garden, I think it's 8 miles.
Right.
Of course I'm right.
Well.
All right, what else you got?
Well, as you know, Jim, I'm trying to simulate the NHL 2012-13 season, and your Rangers are doing pretty well. The Rangers are doing well.
So now you're doing this on you're not doing this on NHL 13. I think I saw you on Facebook say that this was on NHL 12.
Yeah, the reason is because like there's no main difference between 12 and 13.
Okay.
But
you updated the rosters. The Rangers have Rick Nash on their roster.
Oh yeah, I have the Hockey News yearbook, and then you know I spent like 3 hours like rearranging rosters and all that.
Now, what about Chris Kreider? Did you have
Chris
to create
Kreider,
him?
No, I don't think he was part of any team on NHL 12.
Well, no, he wasn't. But you know, he was expected to be a part of the 12-13 edition of the New York Rangers, so he should be. Who's somebody on your team is no longer a New York Ranger? I guess is what I'm trying to say. You don't have an accurate roster.
Well, not completely accurate. Not every team is completely accurate.
Is Dubinsky still on the Rangers?
No, I sent him to Columbus because of the Rick Nash deal.
Oh, okay. There's Eddie.
Yeah. Poor Eddie.
You're gonna have to. I want to hear the four lines you're rolling here for the Rangers. You're gonna have to post them in our group so I can get a look at this because I just think this. I don't know. I'm questioning the validity of this whole thing.
I mean, why the hell are you questioning the validity if you're 8-2?
I just want to make sure that you're putting out an accurate roster out there. That's all.
Well, I'll tell you the truth. Sean Avery is still on the team.
Oh, you see, now this is a sham.
Avery's done pretty well for you guys. He's got like 5 points for you guys.
This whole thing. Come on. Do you realize that when you started talking about this, people were getting excited. This was the only hockey they had, and then you tell us that Sean Avery is still on this team, and now we know the whole thing. This is like the National Enquirer put on a fantasy hockey league.
Well, you asked the question.
You know, I'm just giving you a hard time, right?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Well, and you'll be happy to know that the Leafs are near the cellar in the Eastern Conference. That's why I'm not unbiased. That's how you know I'm unbiased.
So the Rangers are 8-2 in this league you're running. They're in first place?
In the division, yeah. Well, they're tied with Washington for first in the East.
Let's see. Now, where are the Islanders in all of this?
Sadly, there are only 2 points back.
See, this is a sham. All right. Well, you keep plugging away. Keep us updated. I want to see the four lines. I want to see you post them in the Blue Shirt Underground Radio group. I want to see what you're doing here.
All right
there, Cutsy. All right, listen, have a good weekend. Thank you for calling in, my friend, and we'll talk to you soon.
Oh, Jim, one more thing.
Yeah.
I'm planning to put New York, Montreal outdoors next week.
Like, literally, like, are you going to put your TV outside and simulate the game out in your yard? I think that would be really good. Put up, like, a big banner. It's the Bridgestone Cutter Winter Classic. And you're just sitting there watching this simulated hockey game on NHL 12. People walking by wondering what the hell you're doing. I think that'd be pretty funny. You could have, like, a 24/7. Where you just videotape your... Never mind. Anyway.
Hmm.
All right there, Cutter.
Anyway,
Take care.
Yeah, I better let you go.
We'll talk to you soon.
Before. Yeah, right. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.
All right, everybody. That's going to wrap it up, I think. I had something I was going to play for you on the way out that I've played before, but I got to see if it's here. There it is. You may have heard this. You may not have heard this. This is Artie Lang, formerly of the Howard Stern Show, and a bit he does about the Giants. We'll catch you guys next week, hopefully with Eddie. Thank you all for listening. Be safe, be well, and take care. Have a good weekend.
Got a lot of fucking vices, though, I'm trying to get rid of. Over the years, I've also developed an enormous gambling problem. You're not in show business for a decade and dressed like this without a bad gambling problem. I was making 35 grand a week on a sitcom. I'm wearing the same jacket I wore at a Rush concert in 1981. And the reason I got no money from gambling is because I like to bet on the New York football cock-sucking fucker fuck-me-in-the-ass Giants. The Giants haven't covered a fucking game since the Reagan administration. The Giants used to be a lot more frustrating to bet on because they had this old guy who was like a drunk and he had Alzheimer's disease and he announced the fucking games on the radio and he always made mistakes. So if you had a bet on the game, you didn't know what the fuck was going on. This guy Jim Gordon would say shit like this on the radio. You'd have a bet and he'd go like this. He'd go, Sims drops back looking for a receiver. He's going way deep, long, long, way down for Baker, baby. Touchdown, Giants. No, he dropped it. Maggot takes the ball at his own 32. He breaks a tackle. He's across midfield, 45-40, 35-30. He's got one man to beat, the kicker. He's by the kicker. He'll score! No, he stepped out of the five! One time, this was years ago, I had $500 to my name. So I put $1,000 on a Giant game. You want to spruce up a boring Sunday, Arizona, I'll fucking tell you what. Put double your net worth on a football game and then get drunk watching it. Beats the fucking living shit out of any New Year's Eve you'll ever have. So I got all this money on the game, and here's what this cocksucker says on the fucking fuck radio. Giants have the ball, fourth and goal from the one. Tillman, the lone setback. Hand off Tillman. Maybe. He's in. Wait, no, I can't see it. Now word from Toyota. Piece of shit.